be happy, and I'm having some knee trouble, so I'm going to sit today. I'm inspired by the song, exactly. Something a little different. So many years ago, I was in a spiritual education class at Unity Village, and one of my fellow students told a story that to me was absolutely remarkable. She said that she was a nurse in a hospital, and one day she had been informed that one of the patients had passed away. And so she went to his hospital room to turn off the machines that he had been connected to. The body was still in the room. But she said that as she walked across the room, she noticed that the patient's eyes were sort of half open, like in a little slit. And those eyes were moving with her as she walked across the room. Well, this freaked her out. And she basically yelled out, "Who's in there?" Then she ran to get the medical team, and they came in, and by golly, they resuscitated that guy. And a week later, he walked out of the hospital and went on with his life. Well, that's an incredible story, right? It's an incredible story, and it has stayed with me, not only because of what it implies about life after death, but because of that very compelling question that the nurse asked. Who's in there? We might well ask that same question of ourselves, right? Who's in there? Who are we really? You know, we say at Unity that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. But let's be honest. We understand that intellectually, but we really pretty much live our lives like everyone else on the level of the physical human plane. Honestly, right? Day to day, we don't identify primarily with our divine self, but with our egoic self, with our ego. In fact, we, like almost all human beings, take our ego to be who we are. Well, we talk about the ego a lot in Unity. We say ego stands for edging God out. But what does the ego actually mean? What's it made up of? So much. The ego is like the package of all of the components of our outer persona. So it includes our thoughts, our emotions. It's the me and my story narrative running through our lives. It's the roles we play. It's the groups we identify with based on nationality, religion, race, social class, political allegiance. Our ego includes our personal identification with our own possessions, our opinions, our outer appearances, long-standing resentments, and beliefs that we are better or not as good as others. You see, the ego really identifies with form, with what is out here, and it is always wanting more. More. It's like this hungry beast within us, always wanting more attention, more possessions, more power, more status, more success, more, 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 without end. The ego is really driven by fear, and its biggest fear is that it will be annihilated. And so the ego creates opposition and identifies enemies on a pretty regular basis to keep itself safe, seemingly, but also to set itself apart. We can be pretty sure the ego is in charge whenever we catch ourselves labeling, judging, complaining, gossiping, competing, resenting, and vilifying others. And what the ego loves more than anything is to make other people wrong so that we can be right. Right? It really puffs us up, doesn't it? Puffs us up. But that feeling of satisfaction is very temporary. And then we quickly move on to the next battle. And we do this over and over and over again. Well, this is an insane way to live. But we all do it. And the fact that we comply with this creation of stories, with living in an ego orientation, the drama that we create, the suffering that we create, the endless wanting and lack of satisfaction, the fact that we comply with all of it, all of that, tells us that we're not thinking right. We are not awake. But Jesus knew this. He knew the limitations of ego consciousness, and in fact, his entire ministry was about waking people up. When he said to his disciples, "Deny thyself," he was really saying, let go of these false ideas of who you are. Let go of this illusion, this illusory self, this illusory sense of separation that you are living with and under, and come back to oneness. Come back to the divine. Come back to the I am presence that is really the truth of who you are. Well, today we urgently need just that kind of shift in consciousness, do we not? My goodness, we need to recognize the egoic consciousness for the havoc it is creating and shift to a higher level. So beautiful. They can sense the divine life essence, the one indwelling consciousness or spirit in every creature, every life form, recognize it as one with their own essence, and so love it as themselves. We're all connected. As we really begin to feel that, as we live in that consciousness, we experience a miraculous feeling of unity, and miracles start showing up in our lives. So working with this material, I've had that happen a couple of times in the last few weeks. A few weeks ago, I was standing in our kitchen, and we have a pond outside of our backyard, and I was just standing there looking out the window, and the light was hitting the pond in just that magical way that you've all seen before that created these radiant, sparkling bursts on the surface of the water, right? It looked like huge diamonds just dancing on the surface. It was breathtaking. Something that probably happens all the time. But that day I was noticing. And it was as if those diamonds were saying, look at me, look at me, look at me. I not only saw them, I sort of felt their exuberance. And I've been feeling the same way seeing the trees in bloom. Don't you feel that when you see the trees in bloom? Like they're saying, look at me, look at me. Hey, guess what? We're back. We're back. Isn't life amazing? If you're paying attention, you feel that connection, you feel that oneness. I also felt the miracle of unity a week ago when Richard and I went up to New York City, and I was once again treated to my granddaughter Maya's contagious joy. I know all grandparents probably feel this way about their grandchildren, but my observation about Maya is that she is utterly and completely excited about life. Next slide. There we go. Each new discovery, every little thing lights her up, being able to feed herself, being able to turn her body and walk in a different direction, twirling around in a circle, dancing to reggae music. For some reason, she loves No Woman, No Cry by Bob Marley over, 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 over again. Like she's hearing it for the first time every single time. The thrill of coming down a slide, learning to ride a scooter and push herself, the wonder of snow. It's all so much, it's all so great. She can just barely take it all in. You see that in her, she can barely take it all in. It's like, wow. And what I find is that when I am fully present, when I am in my I am identity, I not only witness her joy, I experience it as my own. Listen, this is something that you can do, not just with children, but when you're interacting with adults. Put aside your roles, your functions, your busy mind. Become still and present, and you will connect with others on a deeper level than perhaps you ever have before. You know, this idea of becoming the observer and watching ourselves may sound a little woo-woo, may sound a little superfluous, but this is how we wake up. And today, awakening is urgent. I don't need to tell you this. You know this. Eckhart Tolle says, humanity's greatest challenge is the dysfunction of the egoic human mind. We are faced with a stark choice, he says, evolve or die. Certainly the war in Ukraine, the deepening political divisions, oppression and injustice, the climate crisis, and so much more testify to what happens when the ego runs amok. But we don't have to play into that. Certainly, all of those issues deserve responsible and serious, thoughtful attention. I'm not saying that we ignore that. But we also don't make this our total reality. We can step out of the madness. We can step into truth every day, every moment. And from that higher vantage point, we bring ourselves back to sanity, my friends. We bring ourselves back to oneness and to love. So I invite you to try this in your own life. Try it in your quiet times. Try it even in your busy times. Become the observer. Discover the depth of who you truly are and then live and love from that awareness so that someday when you or someone else says to you, who are you? You can say with all the grandeur and all the power of that I am presence within you, the divinity that you are, the fullness, the joy that you are, you can answer, I am. I am. And know that it is so. Let's turn now to our meditation. I invite you to get comfortable in your seat and breathe in deeply, feeling good Mother Earth beneath your feet, releasing into the presence of God. Feeling that beautiful presence within you. Such love. Such love. I invite you to just imagine for these few moments, letting go of whatever story may be up for you right now, whatever thoughts or emotions, issues, problems, concerns. Just lay it all aside as if just clearing the way for realization. Clear it away. Breathe and feel the joy of breathing. Release and feel that peace of letting go. Invite you for a few moments in silence to ask yourself the question, who am I? On the deepest level, the truest level, who am I? Don't try to answer. Just be very still in the silence. appreciate this process of inquiry, beautiful ability to ask a question to our deepest self, be attentive for the answer. We're grateful that we humans have this ability to step outside of our human self and experience our God self. And so we say today, bring that on. We're ready for that. We're ready to wake up. We're ready to know who we are. We welcome it with open arms, and we are ready to do our spiritual work. And for all of this, for the joy of the journey and sharing it with one another, we say thank you, God, and so it is. Amen.
Flow, Spirit, flow through me as I open up to be an expression of your unfolding peace. Show, Spirit, show through me as I open up to be an expression of your.